So before we go, let us make sure that our intentions are clean. Right? The intention is the main thing. If our intentions are not right, no matter what sacrifices we may do, it's no good. And if our intentions are correct, no matter whether our deed may be, you know, so small, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept it from us. So let us all pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He give us the ability to make our intentions clean, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability to perform a correct hajj. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. It's been mentioned that there was a very great sheikh from Pakistan. He had performed close to 50 hajj in his lifetime. Someone went to ask him, you know, the usual question, how many hajj have you performed? He started to cry. And he answered that question by saying, don't ask me how many I have performed, but ask me how many Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has accepted. And the sign, the ulama mentioned that the sign of an accepted hajj is that a person comes back and the person is changed. You see changes within this person. That is one of the signs of an accepted hajj. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability that we may do a hajj which is accepted in the eyesight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bring a change, a good change into our lives. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. So now before we go, there are certain things that we have to do. The first thing, like I mentioned, our intentions. The utmost important thing. We have to make sure our intentions are clean. Our intention is that this hajj is for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rewards us for it. Secondly, there are many people who have rights upon us. First of all, we have the huququllah, the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we should make sure that we fulfill all of our obligations to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We should make tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive our sins. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make a sincere tawbah, sincere repentance. Not just the typical tawbah that we do every day, you know. Say astaghfirullah or that's it. No, I mean really, sit down, you know, turn the lights off and think about all the wrong that we have done. And turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and say, oh Allah, you know, at this time I did this. I think of all the wrong things that you have done. And ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for tawbah. You know, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive you. And inshallah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive us. That's very easy. The second one is a little hard one. The rights of human beings. We all have family or friends that we have argued with and for some reason we don't speak to. Or there are certain people that we know that we don't speak to for certain reasons. Or we have cursed someone. Or we have said something about someone. We have to make sure that before we leave, we ask these people for their forgiveness. Whether it be, you know, every one of us will say, you know, there's someone somewhere that we don't speak to. And we always say, it's not my fault. Regardless, whether it's your fault or not, make sure we go to that person, no matter how hard-headed or stubborn that person may be, and ask them for forgiveness. If they don't forgive you, if they have harsh words to say to you, that's a different story. But typically, the experience has been that no matter what, when a person knows that you're going for hajj, immediately they will forgive you. So if we've done anything wrong to someone, if we've spoke evil about someone, if we have said something to someone, if we have taken away something from someone, whatever it may be, let us go back, turn to that person. We still have time and ask them for their forgiveness. Right? Ask them for their forgiveness. And inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if we have the intention, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will put that intention, put that feeling in their heart, and inshallah, they will forgive us. And by asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness, we are taking ourselves out of what is called the list of criminals. Because right now, we're criminals. Really, we've done so many things wrong that you and I couldn't even imagine, right? If we look at our record books in the eyesight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they're filled with things that, you know, you and I don't even remember. So we're basically, right now, we're criminals. We've got a very big, you know, record. It's like when the cop pulls you over, you know, he punches in your license plate first, and then he asks you for your driver's license. So, you know, your record kind of shows up there, and see what you've been doing, how many citations you've got. So basically, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala punches our name in, there's just files and files there that are filled with sins. So let us all turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness. Now obviously we will all be going with a certain group. If you already know that is someone that is going within your group, or you go to the airport and you meet someone that you know that you've seen, that you've met, it's kind of good to partner up with someone, especially if you're on your own. Right? Many people go by themselves. Because at times you might need to go to the bathroom, at times you might need to go to put on your ihram or whatever, and you have your luggage with you. So it's kind of good to get to know someone, you know, and get, you know, really ask them their names, because you're going to be together for the next 2 or 3 weeks, right? This person that you don't know, that you've met for the first time, could become your best friend for the rest of your life. You know, or that might be the first and last you see of that person. So you never know. But it's good to always find a good partner, someone that you know. So that way, you know, you're kind of helped along the process. You know, because it's you know, you have to travel a long way. There's many things that you have to do. And what it works out the best, though, is because when you arrive into Makkah al-Mukarramah and Madinah al-Munawwarah, your travel agent is kind of now, he's got a list in front of him, and he's trying to sort out the people, who goes in which room, who goes in which room. And if you've already kind of figured out who you want to stay with, you just kind of make it easy for him and tell him, look, here's who I want to stay with. So it kind of works out for you as well, kind of works out for him as well. So that's a good thing that you might want to do. Secondly, luggage. What do you take and what don't you take? You really want to ask me? Nothing. Don't take anything. The only thing, if you're going to Makkah al-Mukarramah first, you might need is an ihram. Obviously, we probably won't do that. But the golden rule here is travel light. Pack as lightly as possible. The reason is because, especially, it's a little easier when you go in Hajj, because now your tour operator, he's the one who makes sure that there's someone there, takes your luggage, puts it on the carts and whatnot. But the more luggage you have, the longer you have to wait. Because you want to make sure that all your luggage is on the bus. So you kind of wait there to make sure your bag got onto the bus. If you have two bags, then you have to wait to make sure the second bag also got onto the bus. Now when you arrive somewhere, you have to make sure that your bags come off. Now obviously a lot of people don't do that. The bags just come off. But then a lot of people are a little curious and a little worried because they don't want their bags to get lost. So, you know, the lighter your bags are, the easier it's to carry them. The less amount of pieces you have, the easier it is for you. Okay. Usually, the tour operators that take us from America provide us with a thin mattress and pillows. But you might want to find out from your tour operator, you know. And if not, then you might want to take a sleeping bag. A really, really thin sleeping bag. Don't go to the store and say, okay, just because I'm going to Hajj, I'm going to spend all the money that I have and buy a $100 sleeping bag. Please don't do that. The sleeping bag which is on sale for $10, buy that. You really don't need a really thick sleeping bag. You just need, you know, something really thin. And sometimes it does get a little chilly at night, so it just kind of holds you in. The other thing that you might want to take is one or two bed sheets. Please, please, don't take them out of your hotels. You know, take them from home. You might need it somewhere. You might need it in Mina. You might need it, you know, somewhere to put on the ground to sit down. Like, you know, like I mentioned, our tour operators have carpets and rugs and everything for us. A lot of these things are not needed, but it usually helps to keep something like this with you. A lot of people say that you should take Ziploc bags with you, because when you go into Muzdalifah, you will need something to put your little pebbles into. So yes, you do need, because obviously you're going to pick about 50, 60, 70 pebbles there. You can't keep them in your pocket because you don't have a pocket. So, you know, it's easier if you have a Ziploc bag or something, you can keep it inside there. Usually now, alhamdulillah, Muzdalifah is very lighted, so you don't need a flashlight. For those of us who are going to Makkah al-Mukarramah first, ihram. You need an ihram. If you're not going to Makkah, how many of us are going to Makkah first? Okay, how many of us are going to Medina first? Oh, there's a lot of people going to Medina first. Okay, if you're going to Medina Munawwara first, you don't need an ihram. You can buy one there. And then the basics. You know, you're...
First you have to go to Makkah after Umrah, then Medina.
Yes. Yes, in the case of Hajj Tamattu, you'll be going to Makkah first, so you will be putting on your ihram. So you will need an ihram before you leave from here. Can we... just hold the questions till the end. I would appreciate it that way. It just makes it easier for me. But please write them down so you don't forget. And then the usual. You might want to take medicine, you know, diarrhea tablets, Tylenol, things like that. Things that are... everything is very easily available there. You can buy everything that you want there. But it just might help in case you need it, you know, in a hurry at 2 in the morning and although the pharmacies are open at 2 in the morning during the Hajj season. Clothes. Take those clothes which you can wear in the summer, right? For us Californians, that's very easy. That's most of our wardrobe there. So take something, you know, thin cotton, which you don't feel hot in. You might want to throw in a small sweater. Because if you're in Medina Munawwara and if you have a tendency of waking up early in the morning, it is a little chilly in the morning. So you might want to throw in a light sweater. That does not mean bring 2-3 sweaters and jackets. Please don't. You'll just regret it. So a light sweater will help. The one thing that I advise everyone, cargo pants, the ones with the pockets on both sides, they really help. The reason is, not obviously, not during the 5 days of Hajj. You know, you can't wear your trousers when you're doing Hajj, but especially when you're traveling, because this way you can keep your passports right inside there. In my case, it's a little easier. The other thing that you want to do is when you wear your, you know, when you buy cargo pants, you might want to buy a thobe, because then it's hidden. No one knows what you have inside. So you can have your passports, your tickets, your money. If you're wearing just a shirt, it's probably not too advisable, because then, you know, it's kind of, people can see what's happening. But if you're wearing a thobe, you know, a long thobe, it's very helpful. You can keep all your things with you without being worried about it. The other thing is the waist packet, you know, the pouch. Those are also very helpful, because you can keep your pens, your notebooks, your sunglasses, whatever. You can keep them inside there. You don't have to carry them with you all the time. Your hands are free to do what they want to. So that kind of helps. Yeah, don't take your shoes, please. it's not useful at all. I mean, unless, you know, you have a problem with traveling without shoes. You just might want to buy a pair of sandals. And those sandals also, buy the cheapest pair that you find, you know, comfortable but the cheapest, because you'll lose them on the first day. So what you want to do is, you want to take your sandals, go to the haram. Once you've arrived in Makkah Mukarramah or Medina Munawwara, you want to go outside and for 4 riyals, buy a pair of slippers.